Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. I'm going to introduce the crew. Guys, you'll be to my waving for the video portion of our show. And wow, we're top heavy today. We've got Dr. Joel Schultz, retired as a police chief. So thank you so much for being back on the show, doctor. Also, Chief Ralph Ornelas, and he is formerly LA Sheriff's Office, and he used to work with Jeff Wininger. And also, Captain Brett Bartlett, retired from the Tampa Police Department. He makes me say the rest of this with 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. Yes. And he's the founder of Let me get the paper you wrote for me, Brett. I have to get this verbatim. He said, okay. Yep. I called him captain. Yep. Exemplary. I used that word. Okay. All right. The founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. Okay. Are we good, Brett? Okay, cool. So I made that up. Anyhow, see, people would never know that I just made that up, Brett. So you're on there. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. We appreciate it. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to Compliant Technologies, we've been on satellite radio since May the 5th, and we are killing it. We're absolutely loving it. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. And yeah, we had the Green Beret Delta Force guy, Scott Steyer, on the show from them yesterday. Gunlearn.com, on Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million people right now on the live show. TwoBells.com, they built their new online store at LegalRoundtable.com. So check out the cool gear there, like the shirt that I'm wearing. And also FishOrlandoBass.com. So Brett, what do we always say? The wife and the kids, the grandkids, you leave the car in gear, put your foot on the brake, let them go to Disney. And what's your other option, Brett?
Throw them out of Disney. They go to this other place you just mentioned, that great place, and do some fishing and gator hunting. You know, just
gator. It's not gator hunting. It's gator. You got to get that little tang in there. That gator hunting.
So you asked me to comment, but you don't want. I say okay. Got it.
FishOrlandoBass.com. Hook up with Zach. It's a bass fishing charter. Amazing opportunity. And of course the gator hunting. That's just icing on the cake, guys. And you're not killing gators. You're catching and relocating gators. But we're trying to get one of the chiefs doing that. And we're going to have a first aid kit standing by because we know that, you know, it may be necessary. But I can't wait. But anyhow, thanks to our sponsors, guys. Please support our other sponsors as well. You know, we've got Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thank you for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we have some fantastic topics for the end of the week. We've got a fugitive's fatal dash, Tampa suspect killed by a car after a taser deployment. There is some stuff to be learned. I believe we're not being critical of the incident, but you know, when you have things, look, it's like being a fighter pilot. There's always stuff to be learned off of what you do, because there's always a human component, right? And we're not going to be perfect. We've got a New York attorney general. Maybe you've heard of this female before. Her name is Letitia James, and she's been indicted in the state of Virginia, not on state but on federal fraud charges. That may sound familiar because she return the favor to somebody already previously. Police release a body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a guy that points a BB gun at them. Then we got a body cam video showing a shooting involving an officer after a man flees a traffic stop. We've got this one story that we will be covering it today. We haven't been able to cover it yet, but a Florida firefighter, Brett, I hear that she's single, so we'll have to, Brett, why don't you research, get her phone number up there so we can flash it to the guys, the eligible bachelors. Florida firefighter, female, charged with stalking after dumping 75 red-stained tampons on her ex-boyfriend's yard. Then we have a Toronto officer pleading guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left the man injured. And I was surprised to see that one. And then lastly, we've got one that Chief Ralph was talking about. A sheriff's office released, this is Jacksonville in Florida, released footage of a fatal shooting involving a guy that's armed with a knife in a mental health crisis. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So if you guys are ready, you know, the first story, it's a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. And look, this is Tampa, my former agency, Brett's former agency. Brett has a son that's working there still. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Fugitives, fatal dash, Tampa suspect killed by car after taser deployment.
mentioned.
Well, look, we are no way, shape, or form, and this is not just because it's Tampa, my former agency, but we're not doing this to be critical. But before the show, even Chief Ralph was saying there are, when you have an opportunity to learn or just take certain things into consideration, you know, shame on you if you don't do it. So that's all we're trying to do here. The Tampa Police Department released updated information and body-worn camera video concerning the events leading to an in-custody death investigation of a guy that was struck by a car while fleeing police on Tuesday. Now, this dude was a bona fide bad guy. There's nothing good about him. He's been identified as 35-year-old Zachary Groff. And the incident started earlier in the day when TPD officers responded to a report of an auto burglary about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The victim, the guy who owned the car, reported seeing a white male suspect in his vehicle. And then the guy walked away carrying a backpack and a skateboard after being confronted. The victim later realized that his backpack containing a loaded 9mm handgun was missing from the car. Now, an alert was put out and with the subject's description and also the fact that there was a firearm stolen as well. So later that night, just after 8 o'clock p.m., TPD officers on patrol in McDill Park, they detain a guy that they think is the suspect. So remember, auto burglary, had a backpack, but it had a gun in it, right? So the officers asked this guy, identified his scrawl for identification. They see a large piece of crack cocaine comes out of his pocket and lands on the ground. So they put him in custody, which means they handcuff him. And on the narcotics charge, and they put him on a park bench. They're still in that McDill Park. So he's sitting on the bench, he's handcuffed, and as the officers continue the investigation, he suddenly jumps up and he starts running. And one officer deploys a taser, and it causes him to fall on the roadway, and he gets hit and killed by a Mercedes sedan. And they attempted life-saving measures, of course, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. So there's a bunch of investigations, FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, they got the Traffic Homicide Unit, IA, Professional Standards is out there. We have the names of the officers involved, and everybody's being upfront with all the information and trying to be transparent about what happened. But is there more to the story? Is there something, is there a takeaway or something that could be learned from the incident? That's why I thought that it was worthy of covering, because this thing goes down. This could have just as easily been me, guys. It could have been Brett. It could have been anybody on the show. We have all been in situations to where we have said, man, I never thought about that, the possibility of that happening. And so if there's just one guy on one department that we can save by covering this, and likewise, if these agencies aren't using videos like this to train their guys and to run things through your scenario, your brain scenarios that you try to think about, and, you know, shame on them, because it's worth it if we just save one guy. So that said, we got about 9 minutes, guys, before we take our first commercial break. Brett, why don't you tackle this one first, since your son's still with the agency, and essentially he's a sergeant. So in my mind, your son's a trainer. You know, he trains a squad of guys, you know, every day. So
yeah, I looked at that video, saw that park. I've been through there, you know, I almost said 1,000 times, hundreds of times, because it's right downtown. What I would have done a little different, I think, is, And I think Ralph brought this up on the pre-show, I would have put that guy in a police car a lot quicker, put him somewhere. If nothing else, man, handcuffed him to that bench. You know, get another pair of cuffs and handcuff him to the bench. If you can't get a cruiser to that location.
Would you really handcuff him to the bench? Because I thought that was taboo.
If I couldn't get a cruiser to that location,
yeah.
What's the better part of valor? Is handcuff? I'm not leaving him there. It's not like there's any danger or anything. And that way he couldn't get up and run. But I noticed one of the officers was standing, I think, a little bit too far back to control him. And when the kid quit talking, we know he's thinking. Next thing you know, off he goes.
Yeah. All right, Chief Ralph.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Brett said most of it. And I stated before we went on live that, you know, suspect control is so important and officer safety is so important. And when he got up, if you remember, look at that video. The one officer standing right there, and he ran right by the left side of that officer. And that officer looked like he was shocked, like, you know, and he didn't respond. It was like he couldn't believe that this happened. And so those are the things you got to talk about in service training, recruit training. Expect the unexpected on suspects, especially this guy. I would use that video because he spoke so much, that suspect, and what he was saying all the time. They tells you details about what's going on in that suspect's mind.
Yeah, good point. Because we always talk about you give the guy, the bad guy, enough time to talk or not to talk, to think. And sometimes while they're talking, what are they doing? They're dragging it out so they can think and plan their escape or their alternatives. You know, what can they do? So good point. Your Honor, you're up, Dr. Schultz.
Well, kind of adjunct to that, I think we don't spend much, we don't give much thought to what's the value of this chit chat? You know, there was a lot of conversation going. Are you trying to casually get inculpatory information pre-Miranda? Are you trying to assess, whatever? And sometimes, and particularly, you know, on shows like Cops, where there may be a little bit of performing going on. And I've learned some things, you know, like don't try to have a rational conversation with a drunk. To pick up on some cues. So if somebody is talking, they can't. That's a divided attention thing. So if they're talking, there's some safety in having somebody talking. There's not much safety in us talking unless we're giving some very clear commands. So this whole conversation universe probably is kind of an unattended aspect of tactics that we ought to think about.
You know, also, as Brett said, you know, and is that get that guy seated in the car, patrol car, secure him. And if you want to talk to him, as Joel said, well, the Honor said, you know, you got a cage in between. You can have a recording going. There's no privacy in that patrol car. And guess what? Ask him questions about maybe the gun, or hey, maybe he sold the gun and got the money for the gun to buy the drugs. You know, if you want to follow up investigation, but don't conduct an investigation of a potential evidence, the guitar case, and then luggage that he had with him. Don't do it during when he's sitting there, because, you know, I always worry about controlling a suspect, what he's going to do, headbutt you, you know, who knows? You never know. And if you think about it, 11 minutes went by them speaking to this guy. 11 minutes.
Good point. So you got a shout out from Elizabeth, Chief Ralph. So, looking at Elizabeth's picture, we have some questions already. We'll talk about that off camera. So, so thanks for watching the show, Elizabeth, from Facebook. We appreciate it. And so, yeah, so now Chief Ralph has already got his fan base going, and he's quickly trying to take over, the show. He's trying to get more fans than Brett and Chief Schultz and myself. So you are well on your way, Chief Ralph. You have that whole LA thing going for you too.
Remember, there's no letter I in the word team.
Okay. All right.
I got to ask
Ralph. There is an ME.
You're from the East Coast, right, Ralph?
Yeah, the first 22 years of my life, Your Honor, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Yes. Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you been advised of your rights? I just wondered, you know, when I when this guy back in the old days, if a judge heard, oh, he dropped the drugs in front of me, it'd be like, okay, here's another dropsy case. Yeah, the last 15 officers that were making a pedestrian contact mysteriously saw drugs fall out of the pocket. So I'm kind of glad we have body worn cameras so that we can know that's legit.
No, you're right about that. You know, and you know, Your Honor, there's a lot of questions all the time. Was the hand drop all the time? I saw, as walking down northbound Avalon Boulevard, I saw the suspect drop from his right hand a clear plastic bag which contained a white substance. Okay, I mean, it was repetitive a lot in reports, and we got questioned about by that a lot in Los Angeles all the time.
Yeah,
you're right, Your Honor.
It's just part of doing. I mean that happened almost every day when we were doing drugs. Our next story, Letitia James, Tampa Free Press doc, you know, at tampafp.com and lawofficer.com. New York Attorney General Letitia James indicted in Virginia on federal fraud charge. So Brett's doing the air clap. She's indicted on one count now, just one count of fraud by a grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia. And this happened on Thursday. Now, the charge against the sitting attorney general stems from a federal mortgage fraud investigation. Now, being investigated for federal mortgage fraud, that may sound familiar to some people. While specific details of the allegation remain limited, there's an anonymous source familiar with the incident saying that she was indicted on a single count related to a home purchase, and she's currently serving her second term as the Attorney General in New York. She previously admitted to making what she called an error in filling out the forms related to the transaction, and her lawyer immediately claimed that the charge is a bogus criminal case, suggested that it was concocted to settle a personal vendetta by President Trump, who, of course, you know, suffered this, you know, the same thing under her, you know, tenure as Attorney General, which, of course, she's still holding the title. The federal action against James is particularly notable given her own aggressive pursuit of political opponents. And during her 2018 campaign to become Attorney General, she openly stated her intent to investigate Donald Trump. And she vowed to shine a bright light in the every dark corner of his real estate dealings. You know, how in the world do you combat someone that's just, you know, they're advertising that their mission, not that you've, they don't name anything specifically that you've done wrong, but just they're going to start, you know, hunting for you and try to find something that you've done wrong. It just blows my mind. And that she got elected. But conservatives widely view the case as a clear example of a Democratic official weaponizing state power for partisan ends. And the indictment follows a string of recent high-profile criminal actions, but now it's the tables have been turned on her. And so, yeah, there's no sympathy on my part. I saw Brett doing the air clap. I know there's none on his. Commentary on this, guys, we got 41 seconds.
Yeah, she should have kept her mouth shut on the run-up to her election. You know, a prosecutor is there to deal with the cases that come in front of her, and she should have taken herself off that case immediately. But here's the thing, and the Democrats always scream at us about stuff that they've already done. You know, the lawfare that's coming back in now. Well, what, you know, kidding, you did it. You can't raise your head up out of the mud and expect not somebody to kick it around a little bit. So, but all again, right. I don't know if she did.
Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But what really counts, and this is what I want to remind everybody about, is the supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor like I do and go to Gauls at Gauls.com for that purchase. And we're not even done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, hey, that radio code is back. Radio 15, type in radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. They have gift cards as well. We give away a couple every week on this show, and hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. My Danner boots that I just got, waterproof, they are awesome. Gauls.com. All right, guys, next it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Yes, our satellite sponsor. You know, if you guys are familiar with them, their favorite product that I have is called the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com. And it helps officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, I already mentioned the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Dr. and Your Honor Joel Schultz. We've got Chief Ralph Ornelas, and we've got Captain Brett Bartlett. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. We were just talking about, you know, an update story. Captain Bartlett, I know that you were weighing in, so the floor is still yours.
I think I was done.
You think you were done?
I think with Chief Ralph. If she did it, if she's convicted, put her in jail. I don't know if she did or not.
You know, I want to dovetail off of what...
Why don't we just remind the audience who just now tuning in, we're talking about Letitia James and being charged with a federal count of mortgage fraud. And of course, she thinks Trump's returning the favor after what she did to him. And of course, the fine that she put against him, that what multi-billion dollar, or that maybe not multi-billion, I think it was over, what was it, half a billion fine? Guys, if you can mute your microphone, wherever that's coming from, I appreciate it. But anyhow, whatever that fine was, and let me just go here. Anyhow, whatever that fine was, guys, it was removed by an appellate court. And so the appellate court took it away. And because, you know, they had found that she did so many things wrong. And now, of course, you know, she's under the fire. And so that's what we're talking about, Letitia James. So I know Brett already went. Did you want to weigh in on this at all, Chief Schultz?
Well, you know, the specter over this is the president just going on a headhunting campaign to crush his enemies. And I don't think we can make a pretense that's not true. But if the facts support the prosecutions, you know, we've seen them all fall. Jack Smith is going down. Comey's going down. Fannie Wallace going down. And now Letitia's going down. You know, if you're going to fight that war, if you die by the lawsuit, that you die by prosecution for persecution, then it's going to come back and bite you.
Gotcha. All right, Chief Ralph.
Yeah, you know, I was going to dovetail off of what Brett said. I mean, in regards to Letitia James, I mean, she campaigned on going after, you know, Donald Trump before he was in, you know, during his campaign. Or when during her campaign, she goes, I'm going to prosecute this man. I'm going to go for his money and all his properties. You know, and so here we are. I mean, I know the documents are sealed, but based on some of the things I read on the indictments, falsification of documentations, that she used that as a premise that was going to be a primary residence. And so, I mean, that's an issue. Like, you know, if I said I was going to be my primary residence was going to be in Colorado next to the honor, and actually I'm living 90% of the time in Huntington Beach, I think that's a legal issue.
You know, Chip, all of these things, Letitia James, James Comey, January 6th, all these things, all these tricks and these dirty things against Trump were predicated on the fact that they thought he would never get elected again. And that morning, I can't even imagine what was going on when they woke up. Well, they were up all night and saw the news that he was in. You know, go ahead and start planning your defense right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well,
gentlemen, you know, we've stayed out of nuclear war because of the fear of mutually assured destruction, right? I don't want to fire because you're firing, we'd be destroyed. We're there with lawfare. I hope this is going to be the end of it when all the smoke clears.
And I agree. I have to admit that part of me is enjoying this a little bit, because there's some really bad actors, some really bad, evil people that have wormed their way in the government. They just have to go. And Comey's a guy that I used to praise on this show. I don't know if Brett remembers. He went to like San Francisco, was shaking the hands of cops and stuff, thanking them for doing stuff years ago. And I was on that bandwagon. But I'll tell you, that is an evil guy in my opinion. And I can't, you know, I'm glad he's out of office, but you know, until he's convicted, he can still do a lot more damage. Until it's going to take a conviction for people to really understand and believe that he really is that, you know, that bad of a guy. So I really want to get rid of these evil actors and also have that be a deterrent for people wanting to do this to anybody, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. You know, that's really not what
I'm. You're not going to change the minds of their followers. You're not going to change their minds. The only thing you can do is take that guy, Comey, again, if he's guilty, take that guy and put him in prison. That guy. You're not going to change their minds. The Democrats aren't going to go, you know what? We were wrong. Letitia James goes to jail.
But there's Democrats, Republicans, we got people in the middle. So I'm really hoping that the people in the middle.
Here's what I'm saying. Unless Comey got caught with a 12-year-old or a pony, or a 12-year-old pony. It wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter to them. So all you can do is go after and look in the TV and go, I'm coming after you.
Well, guys, anybody else? Or all right, we will move on then. Let's see our next one here. Guys, we got some stories with video components. So I always tell our audience, you know, during a live show, it's too difficult to play a live video. Too many things can go wrong. But we have a special show that comes up very quickly after this one. So, you know, our live show that we're doing right now, it's Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. But producer Will takes a copy of this live show, and he'll embed every video that we talk about, and he'll also put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys, and he'll put that edited version or that produced version of the live show Tuesday through Saturday. It goes up on a Rumble page at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. It's a great way to watch the show. So this particular video that we're getting ready to talk about, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Police release a body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a guy that points a BB gun at them.
Hey, let me see your hand.
Hey, let me see your hand.
Hey, hey.
Drop the gun. Drop the gun.
So we're in Vallejo, California, of all places, August the 29th, 2025. So this just happened, 5:15 in the afternoon, Vallejo Police Department. So this is probably, I'm sure Ralph's got some inside scoop on Vallejo. There's a male wearing a ski mask and a white track suit, and he's on the hood of a silver SUV that's actually in motion. It's moving. While the vehicle is traveling, the caller reports that the suspect falls from the vehicle and begins to walk away. So there's no patrol officers available to respond to the call, though. Crazy, right? So at 6:02, almost an hour later, in the evening, another call comes in, and it's from a different person at the location reporting a subject matching the same description of the previous call, and this dude's breaking windows on a Hyundai. Now, I know what you're saying. It's only a Hyundai, so is that even worthy of, like, sending out a patrol car out, you know? I mean, I'd say maybe one man unit, definitely not two man unit, because it's a Hyundai. If it was, like, you know, maybe a BMW or an act. Okay, Brett, I get the picture. Okay. If it was a Toyota, I know you'd send a two-man unit out because that's, you know, what you drive. Anyhow, at 6:05, this person's breaking windows, and they found out his name is Alexander Schumann. And so she indicated that Schumann made a comment that he wanted the police to shoot him. And guys, I'm going to break it off right there because we got another commercial break that's sneaking up on me. So stick with us. We'll finish the story in just a minute. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to introduce Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Brett's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they have been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4, E1 Pro, and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by, we got Dr. Joel Schultz. We've got Chief Ralph Ornelas. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett. So thanks for being on the show, guys. We left off talking about police releasing the body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a bad guy who ended up pointing a BB gun at them. I've been kind of going through the story in Vallejo Police Department over there in California, and I kind of left off where about 6:02 p.m., another call comes in. It's a, they give the description. It matches the one from a previous call. And this, the previous caller said this guy was on a car and he fell off while they were driving. So and they go there, he's breaking windows of a Hyundai. And the person inside the apartment complex identifies this bad guy as Alexander Schumann. She indicated that he made a comment that he wanted police to shoot him. And so while officers are en route, dispatch tentatively identifies the suspect. And they tell the name, he's 24 years old. He was found to have three outstanding warrants for his arrest, one felony, two misdemeanors. So the cops are armed with this information before they get there. Several officers arrive at the scene for a few minutes later, set up a staging area. Officers attempt to get information by contacting witnesses by phone, as well as checking whether our bad guy had any firearms registered to him. So at least they had the time to plan all this stuff. At 6:25 p.m., numerous patrol officers, they move in, they make contact with the bad guy. And as they pull up, the silver Hyundai SUV is in the apartment complex. This dude's seated in the front passenger seat with the door open. As officers stop their cars, he quickly exits the vehicle via that passenger door, which is open. He immediately points what appears to be a black handgun at the officers in a two-handed position as he walks towards them. At that point, there's an officer involved in shooting. But by the time the shooting took place, the guy kind of like turned around and faced away from the officer. It's almost like he knew what was coming, you know? And so the officers discharged their service weapons. They strike him. A total of 7 rounds ended up being discharged. He sustained gunshot wounds to the upper and lower body. It doesn't really say you know, how many times he ended up getting hit. So we don't know what the percentage, you know, was as far as, you know, shots on target. And that's what we have. So, guys, commentary on this one, Ralph, Chief Ralph, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, looking at that numerous times, that video, I had a situation like a similar, you know, parking structure, similar positioning. One of the things when I was a sergeant, though, we had more distance from the suspect's vehicle, and especially with the information that they had available was the fact that he wanted police to shoot. Distance is time. And also what I did at that time, I don't think we have this weapon anymore. We used an Arwin. Not that I didn't have as a sergeant designated shooter with deadly force, but we used the Arwin first, which is a rubber projectile. I know Brett knows this. We hit this guy in the chest, knocked him out. And I say this because distance is time to see really what's going on. And it gives you more options to use less than lethal or lethal weapons. And we guess what? On my situation, similar to this, we hit the guy with the Arwin. And guess what? The guy went down. In our situation, it wasn't a real gun. It was a BB gun, just like this situation. And so you know something? I believe watching this video, I looked at the spacing of the parking spaces. There were two parking spaces away, which is 10, that's 20 feet. So, you know, I believe the tactics could have been better. Obviously, knowing the background drop and not putting your people and citizens or, you know, in any jeopardy. But I would have used a little bit more different tactics than what they approached, especially having information ahead of time. He wanted police to shoot him.
I understand. I get it. Well, guys, if there's...
Yep.
Brett Bartlett.
Now, I looked at this video several times, and there's one shot where it shows from the left side of one of the police cars through the car to the right side with the officer standing there. It's the weirdest thing. The officer's got his gun. He's almost jumping up and down while he's pulling the trigger. And I thought, what the heck is going on there? Except he was so ramped up or amped up, what you want to say it. He was actually jumping up and down while he's pulling the trigger. And I don't know why.
Control your emotions. I mean, it's very difficult.
You know, one of the things that I see in a lot of these, when the officers are closing in, you've got a group of officers. I'm a big fan of the low ready. And I like a lot of these officers are sweeping some of their own folks. And I know in the confusion, it's kind of difficult, but, and it seems like a lot of people, and I haven't had any live tactical training for about a decade. It seems like a lot of officers were doing the tucked in building search posture with their weapons. And I'm just worried because we know people are trigger checking all the time unconsciously. It just makes me nervous when I see a bunch of officers coming up and somebody's got their gun out and they're not avoiding the possibility of a friendly fire.
Well, here's one of the bad things. When it used to be that you're, at least at Tampa, our whole squad went to training. We were off the street for a week. And they had a squad that they filled in. So we're training together. But not long after that, and still you go to in service, one guy off each squad. So you're not training with the people you're going to be working with. You're training as an individual. And even then, you're not getting really great training. So they typically don't work together. They don't train together under these situations that they're going to encounter.
You know, you're 100% right, Brett. One of the things when I was a sergeant, I used to do an early morning shift. I would do training in an empty building, vacated building, movement, and just, you know, it's obviously not live training, but movement and understanding and try to understand where each person, where me as a sergeant, the person going in first, you know, how to do a felony stop and how do you approach a car if somebody's not coming out. I mean, all those situations, but even if you don't have organized training as a sergeant, you should create that training on your shifts.
I love it. And that's why I say sergeants are trainers. It's a beautiful thing. There's something, it's great. Guys, moving along, we've got another one, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter again. Body cam video shows the shooting involving an officer after a man flees a traffic stop.
I will shoot you! He's got a gun! Drop the gun! Drop the gun! I will shoot you! Drop the gun! Drop the gun! Put the gun down! Drop it!
10-3, shots fired.
Shots fired, 10-3. Bye!
Do not fucking reach! Don't reach for the gun!
Do not reach!
Don't move!
Do not
move! Get the gun! Let's get him cuffed! Cuff him up!
Taking one into custody now.
Copy.
Go get some airplanes. Shut all this down.
So this one's in Columbus, Ohio. So the Columbus Division of Police, they released this body cam. It shows the moments that this bad guy got shot by an officer after he flees a traffic stop. It's on the southeast side, and it happened on a Friday evening. So officers get a call about 5:05 in the afternoon to this area for a traffic stop. And at the time, we're not really sure why the officers are stopping the driver, but the driver refuses to stop for the officer. So the officers then follow the vehicle. Body cam shows the officer locates the car. Now it's parked between two apartment buildings. And then one officer in the cruiser is heard saying, hey, they're bailing. So the officer driving immediately jumps out of the cruiser and he starts chasing the guy through yards that are in the area. And after chasing the guy for about 20 seconds, the officer yells out to the guy, hey, let me see your effing hands. I will shoot you. And the officer then speaks into his radio saying he's got a gun. And the guy's still running. So drop the gun. The officer yells to the guy. They're both still running. And then he repeats himself one more time. And he says, hey, I'm going to shoot you. Drop the gun. So the guy seeing the bad guy, he trips and he goes down. He falls on the ground and he ends up dropping the gun. He looks back at the officer. But then he picks up the gun and he's got the gun back in his hand. And so you see an object in his hand. He starts to run again. The officer fires 5 shots at the bad guy, ends up hitting him. And he ended up getting shot twice in the leg out of the 5 shots fired. Suspect identified as Deontis William Spencer, and he ends up being in stable condition, no life-threatening injuries. The gun ends up being recovered. The passenger in the vehicle, there was one during the traffic stop, but the passenger complied with police, and that ended up working out okay, at least for the passenger. Just on my show notes here, bad guy falls down, gets back up with the gun, and then he hits twice in the leg and survived. And the cop was a lefty, and I picked up on that immediately. I thought he did a decent job there. And when he moved in to grab the suspect's gun and handcuff him, he did use a 3-point pin, which I thought was noteworthy as well, because we don't always see guys, as far as the training aspect, Brett, knowing how they get, how they get the bad guy in custody the safest way and the quickest way, right?
Well, I'd have done that as soon as I'd surveyed my guys and make sure they're okay. I'd taken that female officer, punched her right in the snot locker, and told her to quit yelling, shut your mouth. You're just making it worse. There's, and Joe, you brought this up. When you're screaming and shouting, you're not thinking. One person needs to be given the commands. The rest need to shut your mouth. Okay? Everybody, take a deep breath. He's down. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's talk about where's lunch. And then let's go take care of business. But shut your mouth.
Well, I think Ralph's agreeing with you, Brett. So, all right. Well, if there's no more commentary, guys, we will move on to our next story.
I just got one comment. The female officer left the other person in the car. We don't even know what else is within that car. And then the other issue is this. When I was a training officer, I always told my trainees, if I chase, you chase. It's better to go with 2 instead of 1.
Good point. Chief Schultz.
Well, just a lot of things we could talk about generically about foot pursuits. I remember the first time a range officer made me jog around the range, do 10 push-ups, and then try to put lead on a target. Whole different thing.
Yeah, that's true. I know our SWAT team does the same thing. Yeah. It's training really has, I'm going to talk about this before we go to the next story. We'll come back after the commercial break and we'll get to the next story. But training's really evolved. I really like, you remember, I mean, when I started, we had revolvers, right, Brett? And then we did static shooting, right? I mean, if you're lucky, the target maybe would turn and then turn away from you, right? A paper target. And now we do scenario-based training, which I absolutely love. And now we do night shooting. We have long guns. We create stressful environments, which is absolutely a beautiful thing for law enforcement. So we really have evolved. But guys, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, Daniel Kelly, the founder of GunLearn.com, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by Your Honor, Dr. Joel Schultz. We've got Chief Ralph Ornelas, and we've also got Captain Brett Bartlett. So he's got the gavel. Look at that. Where did he get that gavel from? There's probably some judge in Colorado filing a criminal report right now as we speak. So, wow. Anyhow, and we got video evidence now. So, yeah. Anyhow, guys, any more commentary on the last topic? Are you guys ready to move on to our female firefighter who now is a single white female, or Chief Ralph?
Yeah, I just, reverence for life. I think you got to train people for reverence for life, and go back to Brett and Joel said, training is critical. I don't care what kind of training it is. It may not be the best training, but we have to train.
We got a lot of guys agreeing with y'all. We got Todd Irving here that's typing in from Facebook watching the show. So thanks, guys, for weighing in. We appreciate it. And all you guys over at Rumble, MVS and stuff. MVS is saying he had a flintlock back when he started his law enforcement career. So I don't know if I'm falling for that one or not. But guys, moving along. We've got a story that I've been wanting to cover. And look, this is not making Tampa look good in any way, shape, or form, but TampaFP.com, that is the source, Tampa Free Press. But it's a Florida firefighter charged with stalking after dumping 75 red-stained tampons in her ex's yard. So I'm looking at a picture of her. She is now, I suspect she's available. And Brett, you were supposed to be looking up the phone number in case anybody needs a new girlfriend. But a Florida firefighter with Orange County Fire Rescue has been placed on paid leave, and she's facing two counts of misdemeanor stalking. So guys, it's only misdemeanor stalking. It's not felony, just in case any of our single males are having or hesitant about getting a new girlfriend. She allegedly orchestrated a bizarre act of harassment, which involved dumping 75 red stained tampons in her ex-boyfriend's front yard. Gabrielle Franz is her name, arrested following an incident reported shortly after 10 o'clock p.m. on September the 29th at her former boyfriend's home is in DeLand, Florida, where he now lives with his new girlfriend. So apparently that's what this was about. According to a probable cause arrest affidavit from the Volusia County Sheriff's Office, the current couple, that means the boyfriend and the new girlfriend, discovered the tampons stained red as if they were possibly used, according to the deputies, in their yard in the morning on September the 30th. So they reviewed the surveillance video that they have. And the previous night, they see a dark colored pickup truck slowly driving past the house. And then it shows a woman hopping out from the back of the truck, waiting for traffic to clear. And then she throws the items into their yard. And both victims quickly identify Franz, his ex, as the likely culprit, stating that she had been demonstrating her displeasure with their relationship on social media, negative comments, mutual friends, that kind of stuff since the breakup. So the investigators noted that the female suspect owned the pickup truck, the firefighter, matching the one in the video. License plate readers confirmed that her vehicle was in the area at the time of the incident. It's not going good for her. So when confronted by investigators, she initially denied knowing that her former boyfriend's, what his address was. And then according to the affidavit, she eventually changed her story, admitted to the act, claimed that it was not her idea. And then she throws her mother and her aunt under the bus, saying that they came in from out of town visiting her and that they were all involved in hatching the plan. So, guys, I just got to say, I'm not even done with the story yet. And I can automatically tell this is a tight-knit family. What you know, when you want to inherit like a tight knit family, you know, by hooking up with like a new girlfriend or something, man, her mom or aunt, they're like this. So you guys would be getting into like a really tight knit family if you hooked up with her. France claimed that the trio brought a large quantity of tampons and painted them red. Boy, what time consuming. They were devoted a lot of time to this effort to simulate usage before driving to her ex-boyfriend's residence and scattering these in the yard. Deputies concluded that her actions demonstrated a course of conduct whose sole purpose was to harass and serves no legitimate purpose. Lucky it was not a felony charge, which is what I'm kind of surprised. She was arrested and transported to the Volusia County branch jail. She's been bonded out. Her attorney has filed a motion to dismiss the charges, arguing that there was insufficient evidence in the affidavit to support that a crime was committed. Meanwhile, our female firefighter has been placed on paid administrative leave by the Orange County Fire Rescue as the department conducts an internal investigation, according to the WFTV. Brett, I know you're a former Volunteer Commander.
You could have stopped halfway through, and I could have said, we all know cops. Every single know cops. If you told them that story, they'd go, that's all you got? That's all that happened for that crazy, you know what? They're out there. This didn't even raise
my
eyebrows.
It wasn't even on your radar. Come on.
And I didn't do a search on her because sometimes people are being searched can find out who's doing their search, and I don't want her doing that crap to me, so I left that one alone.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know what the story really is about this? It's a public servant for a county who's a firefighter. That's the story that you would think somebody would have the worth all the knowledge about what's going to happen to the person. And here I go again, lack of controlling emotion. And, you know, I mean, that's a tragic story. Once again, disparaging public safety, this lady doing what she did to go to that extreme, and her attorney saying there's no evidence. She already admitted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Your Honor, what kind of a sentence are we looking at here? And should her job be in jeopardy after this?
I think she needs a psych eval for sure. But then, you know, firefighter, that explains about half of it.
Well, I was going to say Florida might explain the other half. I don't know. Brett Slavin, she probably lives in Lana Lake, Sprague. So don't get too excited. So, guys, we've got 3 minutes. So let me see if we have time to cover. Chief, did you have something else you wanted to throw in there?
No, I'm going to exercise my Fifth Amendment and just stay silent.
Well, I'm going to real quickly cover Rumble.com. This is Butter. This is one that Chief Ralph mentioned. SO released footage of a fatal shooting involving a guy armed with a knife in a mental health crisis.
Ryan, come here. You're going to get dog bit. Get on the ground.
Back up.
Drop the knife. Drop the knife. K-9-9, shots fired. Buckman in 25th. Buckman in 25th. Drop the knife. Drop the knife. I'm out with the suspect. He's still on the ground. Signal 18. Go ahead and start rescue 1068. Knife is still in his hand. 25th in Buckman. I am 1077.
So we're in Jacksonville, Florida, and they got that metro up there, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. They released body cam footage showing a fatal police shooting of a guy reportedly in the middle of a mental health crisis. This was August the 13th in a neighborhood. According to the Sheriff's Office, 34-year-old Brian Gillis was shot and killed by Officer Caleb Bumgarner after allegedly threatening the officer with a knife, and our bad guy died at the scene. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, the bad guy's mother calls 911, tells dispatchers that her son's in crisis and he had just started a fire. According to police, he started a small fire at her neighbor's home overnight and thrown paint on the property. Surveillance video appears to confirm the account. And it kind of goes on to say that police said that they sent out a mental health worker. Well, they had already visited the home earlier in the morning, but they were unable to locate the bad guy. And later in the morning, Caleb Brumgarner, the officer, locates the bad guy, confronts him. Now we got body cam. The officer pulls out the taser, gives verbal commands to Gillis, the bad guy, who's holding a knife, get on the ground. And Gillis responds by saying, back up, back up. So then the bad guy runs away from the officer while still holding the knife. And that's when the officer switches from his taser to his firearm, open fires, shoots 6 times. And this is on a sidewalk. And anyhow, so that's the way it goes down. It says that there was no criminal history, but our bad guy had been bankrupted multiple times due to mental health concerns. Shocker. Chief Ralph, we've got about a minute and a half.
I'll speak fast. Number one, Caleb Bumgarner, canine officer. Why didn't he let the canine out? Number one. Number two, he's got the taser, right? Why didn't he use the taser? You know, and then all of a sudden the guy's running away. It looked like the video, and he's turning. And then he transitions from taser to shooting. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, there's tools there that he had to mitigate this whole thing of taking somebody's. And then, gentlemen and audience, here he is. He says, Brian, trying to get medical care for you. And this is after he shot him. He's on the ground. I got to be honest with you. You know, there are a lot of tactical issues, tools that Bumgarner could have used to mitigate the shooting. And that is my assessment. Brett, Joel, you may disagree with me, but I'm sorry. I mean, it just looked like, you know, the guy was ready to run away and then he shot him.
30 seconds, Chief. Chief Schultz, Your Honor.
My question is to Josh, the co-responder. What were you there? What was your role? What were you trying to accomplish? You're trying to diagnose this guy? So what? You've got to act on behavior.
That's what Brett always says. Chief Ralph, let me ask you, would you have released a canine on a guy with a knife?
I would have used it. Why not? It's a tool. I've seen it used before. And I guess
The canine being stabbed?
I understand that, but you don't know something? I've seen where canines know where to go to take a person down with a knife. I've seen it happen, and I've seen it be successful. But also, the taser. Why didn't he shoot the taser? Yeah. He was probably within 15, 20 feet.
Yeah.
Here's what I like. The guy's voice was under control. He's also in good shape, and you can tell. Here's why. He shaves his arms. He goes to the gym. Did you notice that? His arms are shaved.
Yes, I noticed that. I noticed that.
Brett, you want me to get his number for you?
I already have.
Okay, you already got it. Okay, good. Hey, we're running thin on time. We've only got seconds, guys. But thank you so much, Chief Joel Schultz, Your Honor. We've got Chief Ralph Anellis. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Appreciate it. I usually mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, so please check them out, guys. And also our sponsors, you know, our title sponsor, we have Gauls at Gauls.com. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com, Aero Precision, Gunlearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. And we'll look for you guys back starting on Monday at 12 noon Eastern.